So let me ask you, if the copper is a sign that I'm not holding on to the copper, and you can see that, folks, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th one, literally off the chart, that I'm not metabolizing, right, and keeping the copper in my body. Marley says we need that. And then the arsenic is, 3rd one over, is why is it that in the copper scenario, it's showing that I don't have any copper, but in the arsenic, you're saying that it shows that I have too much arsenic in my body. How do you get there?
That's a wonderful, thank you, Patrick, because I think that's a question a lot of people would have had. Thank you for bringing that up. The issue is bioavailability. So think of copper as wild horses, okay? And we've all seen pictures, or maybe we've actually seen wild horses in real life.
We have.
Certainly in the movies, we've seen wild horses, and they're amazing creatures to watch. Well, what does a cowboy do with a wild horse? They put a harness on it, or they put a bridle on it, and they put a saddle on it, because then they can use it. You've got to be able to harness that copper. And so when that horse gets a saddle on it, then it becomes bioavailable. Copper is the exact same way. You don't want the copper out loose in the field. You want it pulling the wagon or getting the cowboy into town or, you know, riding to catch that cow that's gotten away or whatever it happens to be.
Gotcha.
But the whole point is putting copper to use, and when it comes out of its key protein in the body, ceruloplasmin, it's no longer of use. And so it becomes unusable, and therefore its expression becomes bio-unavailable. And so that's the subtle difference between low and high. And I hate those terms,
sure,
because it's so much more complicated and so much more subtle. But it's all about we want optimal bioavailable copper to make sure we have optimal functional iron. Now the arsenic, again, arsenic doesn't express through enzymes the way copper does. So when arsenic is standing up the way it is, we know that it's being lost because it's just there's something in your environment that's causing the release of arsenic to your hair follicle. And it's an expression of stress, that's all.
Say that again. Something in my environment, I don't know why it does that.
I think the most reasonable explanation would be that there may be a dietary source of arsenic that your body is showing it can't use it, and so it's releasing it into the hair follicle.
A diet, so, yeah. Mm.
This hair analysis thing takes about 2 or 3 years to really get your legs on it. And when I was being trained by Rick Malter, who was my mentor, very gifted clinical psychologist, had been working with it for 40 years, and he would start talking about the mineral patterns, and I was like, oh my, am I ever going to understand
this?
Yeah,
it's crazy, right?
About 3 years in, I was like, wow, it makes so much sense. Now I know what Rick Malter was talking about. So it's just, on first blush, it is very confusing. But the important thing is, when the bars aren't all in relative conformation with each other, it means that the individual is under stress. And that's okay. You know, Patrick is not broken, but he is out of balance.
Well, I'm obviously broken. I'm just kidding. Marley Robbins is with us, the Magnesium Man, Patrick Timpone.
Yeah. Anyone who would kiss foot on air is out of balance.
That's right. Anybody who kissed their toes out of, I mean, come on. Popsicle toes, we call them popsicle toes. Marley is with us. Your website again is, give your website a plug. And we're going to, oh, by the way, we're going to put all of the little reports, right, that you've made on a PDF, and then we're going to have that on the show page that people can click and kind of look at, and then go back and kind of, they can replay the show audio or video or whatever, and kind of get, because we need to get to some more stuff here because we're having too much fun. But anyway, so we're going to have that PDF for you to look at. We couldn't.
It's all right.
Let's see.
That was a perfect shot. But the website is RCP,
okay.
Root Cause Protocol, RCP123.org.
Mm-hmm. Org.
And scroll down to the bottom of the landing page. Donate your email address, which we will honor and respect. But we will then, in exchange, give you access to a 32-page document to explain what Patrick and I are discussing.
Oh, a 32-page. Okay. What's this little...
I give away the answer.
I give it away. What's this little guy here? This looks like pretty geeky stuff here.
Well, what this is revealing is just a pattern of mineral expression over a series of hair tests. And what's intriguing is the consistency of the high copper, which we've been talking about. What's also, if you go down in the lower half of the chart, there's a row that calls adrenal ratio, and that's the relationship of sodium to magnesium. And ideally, there should be 4 parts sodium to 1 part magnesium. But in Patrick's body, the last two hair tests, his ratio is 18, which means that metabolically speaking, Patrick is on fire. There's a very high expression of sodium, and magnesium is not keeping up with it. And if you look in the far right-hand corner, top right-hand corner, you see oxidation type FAST,
mm-hmm.
and Patrick and I are both what are called FAST oxidizers. Well, he and I know what that really means. It means we're both pretty smart. We're really fast, right? But what it also means is that the FAST oxidizer has a tendency to burn through calcium and magnesium and has a tendency to hold on to sodium and potassium.
Which are hotter?
And when a FAST oxidizer, excuse me?
Which are hotter, sodium, potassium are hotter?
Yeah, the sodium and potassium will be higher than ideal on a FAST oxidizer, and it's because we're burning through it faster, and so you would expect to see a higher than ideal adrenal ratio. Instead of it being 4, maybe it should be around 6. But when I see an 18, that tells me there's some dynamic in your environment or in your body or your being that's allowing this in accelerated expression of the adrenal ratio. And so what stood out as I looked at it is your calcium and magnesium levels are on the lower side, lower than ideal, and you would do well to supplement with both the magnesium, and you might need some calcium lactate to support your metabolism during this period of time.
Actually, you know, what I think I'm going to do more of, and you could, we have a real living pearl that we promote from real
right.
pearls, yeah.
Right.
And it's a living source of very heavy calcium substance that Dr. Rulin Shu has figured out how to put into a powder. And to me, I think that's the coolest form of calcium ever.
Yeah, I think that's very exciting.
But you've told me
how bioavailable is it?
Well, I mean, if it's living, it's got to be more bioavailable than copper, calcium lactate.
Yeah, you would think so.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Right. I mean, didn't the Max Planck Institute, Morley, really talk about a living source? And Dr. Bob Marshall, remember him? He didn't want anybody putting stuff into his body, you know, from a lab, right? And so these are real living pearls.
Have you been working with that product for a while?
No, not a long time. Not a long time.
Okay.
I haven't taken a lot of it internally.
By all means.
Yeah. Now, you had told me earlier, for my body weight, I'd want about 600 milligrams. What is it, five milligrams of magnesium per body weight. About 600 milligrams of, tell folks the formula. Five milligrams.
So the formula is 5 milligrams of magnesium
per body weight.
Per pound body weight. So if you weigh 100 pounds.
125.
You want to take 500.
Okay. So I got 600. Right, and then you said about half of that with right. magnesium. But now on the protocol thing that you sent me, and we'll get into, you've got me, you've wanted me to take a lot more than 600 milligrams of magnesium. Why is that?
I'm not sure what
you know, on the protocol thing that you sent me, there's three or four different
Is that tab four that you're referring to?
Yeah, let me look. Is it tab four? Let me find it here. Yeah, a tab four. Key ratios. Yeah. Which tab is that?
It probably is tab four.
Yeah. It was pretty long and we couldn't get it on here. Where was the simple one? Didn't you have all kinds of different magnesium? Oh, the protocol. Okay. Yeah, the protocol thing. Didn't you have more magnesium that you wanted me to do?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't have a perfect recall on that, but it's in alignment with the 5 milligrams per pound.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right.
And if it's out of sync, then let's clarify that. But I think it should be very consistent with what we're talking about.
Right now, I'm taking magnesium glycinate, about 600 milligrams. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I have magnesium bicarbonate.
Magnesium glycinate and magnesium malate.
No.
Well, magnesium malate and magnesium glycinate are the most readily absorbable.
Okay.
Magnesium bicarbonate in water is wonderful.
Wonderful. I've got some of that too. So just keep it at about 600 milligrams. Keep the calcium. And I'm going to find out. I have an email with Dr. Rulin Shu of how much of the powder to get 300 milligrams of calcium. It's not pure calcium. And then just keep it that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So do you have my protocol page? You want to pull that up and we go over that a little bit? Tell folks one of the things you're recommending. Do you have that?
Let's see.
Let me see.
What's going to happen if I do that?
I think you sent me a new one today, right?
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Yeah. And I'm still, you can still see me, right?
I can still see.
So, yeah, just, you know, going through the protocol itself, it's broken up into different categories, and it's the format that's used on the website is more it's more contemporary, I should say, but the whole goal of the protocol page on the hair test is just reinforcing different aspects of reducing the iron burden, particularly as it relates to introducing wheat germ and the diatomaceous earth.
Let's stop there. Let's talk about those, because that's been interesting. I did order some wheat germ since you sent me this last week.
Uh-huh.
Should be here today. And also ordered some food-grade diatomaceous earth. What are those two guys are going to do for me? And I really appreciate that you're not recommending I take a bunch of supplements, because, like I say, you know. Okay. So
no,
it's food, really.
So the exactly. Wheat germ oil was in our diet for millennia.
Was it?
But when they started to, absolutely. When they started to refine grains and strip off the wheat germ, lost the wheat germ oil. Well, wheat germ oil is vitamin E. It's one of the most powerful antioxidant nutrients we can have. It's considered a chain-breaking vitamin because of its power. It's unique in the ability to stop lipid oxidation, which we started the conversation with.
Okay.
And diatomaceous earth is, you know, diatoms are ancient life forms that have a known propensity to help the body to both remineralize but also deal with parasites that might be in your being.
Wow.
So it's just a very basic nutrient to help us bring the body back into balance.
Excellent. So those are the two that I'm going to start taking, the diatomaceous earth and the wheat germ, right? By the way, if you have a question here before we go, we have some time. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com or 888-663-6386. We're live here September 8th. This will be up on YouTube. And then also the audio will be here for you. And then we're going to have the PDF version of all of the charts that Marley did, that we did with the blood test, that you can look at and kind of dink around with this. Okay, so those are the top two. Then what are the next ones on the protocol that you are recommending
then
I take.
And really focusing on retinol to support liver.
That's
health.
The Rosita cutter oil, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Then B vitamins are amazingly important for dealing with stress, but I have a personal belief that the B vitamins are energized by copper, and they play roles to regulate iron in the body. And we don't have enough time today to get into that. But the important thing is we use different sources of B vitamins, especially bee pollen.
Yeah.
And the rice bran and the beef liver are very rich sources of bioavailable B vitamins.
B vitamins.
Very important.
So that's that category there. You know, I've been taking bee pollen for years, not organic, not regularly, but you're recommending I do it some every day, bee pollen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And part of the reason is that what makes, in order, you cannot pollinate a flower and you can't pollinate an animal if you don't have copper. Well, what does bee pollen have? It has copper in it.
It has copper.
And that's what allows
it. Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right. And then the other one is a stabilized rice bran. And Shen Blossom, the one of our products, they got a great one, organic. I've got that. And then the beef liver, I've started to eat raw beef liver. But you also recommend, and I think we're going to start promoting it because they seem like a good product, these ancestral, what do you think?
Company.
Tell folks
great
about
product.
This. Yep. So you think the dehydrated or the desiccated grass beef liver thing would be good for people to take?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, the thing is that, you know, we can all go back to our early days of watching Wild Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And when the lion kills its prey, what's the first thing it eats? It eats the liver. It's the most nutrient-dense part of an animal. And the nutrients in there are amazing. B vitamins, the retinol, the bioavailable copper. Yes, there absolutely is some iron, but there's bioavailable copper than there is iron. There's a series of enzymes, catalase, which is a very important enzyme. Mm. It's got choline, which is incredibly important for fat metabolism.
Mm.
And so it's been methodically drummed out of our diet in America, when in fact, you know, the more ancient civilizations regularly ate organ meats, and they would feed the muscle meats to the dogs.
Yeah.
Well, we're very sophisticated now, and we eat the muscle meats and throw the organ meats to the dogs.
To the dogs, yeah.
It's a complete opposite of our ancestor.
Have you ever seen the movie Dances with Wolves?
Sure, absolutely.
What do they tell folks what they do with that and killing the buffalo? Remember that scene?
Well, it's a very powerful ritual that you're blessing the animal for donating its organs, but it's really a source of strength and vitality for the Indians that were able to bring that animal down.
Well, yeah, and they do. They bless the animal, and they give thanks for giving its life, and then they cut it out, grab the liver, and hand it to Kevin Costner as a showing how much respect they had for him, and he takes a big bite out of this liver.
Kind of,
remember that scene?
And he was taken aback by it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
he was kind of in a state of shock.
Given old Kevin said, sure, I'll take the liver, dude. So the Indians knew the liver thing, right? The Indians know.
Well, all ancient, so that's what Weston A. Price discovered.
Mm-hmm.
They all knew how important the organ meats were.
So let's move down on the protocol. We have bee pollen, the rice bran, and beef liver. And then, this is kind of curious. And I think I got a little product already in my cabinet for this guy. It's an adrenal thing, which is sea salt, cream of tartar, right?
Yep.
And Edgar Cayce's got one of these. Did you know that he did? Did you see the one I sent you?
I did not know it.
Yeah.
That. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's in our store, and it's iodinesource.com.
Okay.
And there's a little product that Edgar Cayce knew about. And it was, I think, a little bit of sulfur, sea salt, and cream of tartar. Go figure.
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
So what does that do?
Cool.
What does that do?
No. Well, again, we live in a very stressful society, especially since the Chinese export. And the adrenals are the first responders to stress. Well, what most people don't realize is that the adrenal glands, which sit on top of the kidneys, mm-hmm. so adrenal means adrenal on top of the renal gland.
Okay.
So the adrenal glands are where 95% of real vitamin C is stored in the body. What does real vitamin C have? It's got a critical enzyme called tyrosinase in it. What does tyrosinase have? It has four copper atoms inside its structure. And so the adrenal glands are the first responders to stress, and they are very important for making hormones.
Uh-huh.
The thyroid makes one hormone a day. The adrenals make 50 hormones a day.
Whoa.
And so it makes perfect sense that doctors obsess about thyroid function and profess that the adrenals do nothing. Again, that's just their training. They don't realize that the adrenal glands are this incredible powerhouse of chemical signaling that are what really enable the full functioning of the human being.
Interesting.
And it's all minerally based.
And so that's why you recommend, and I bought this product, is a natural source of vitamin C, not sodium ascorbate, right? None of that stuff. You said that's just, the body can't do it, right?
No. And I go, if for any reason Tom Levy is listening, he's having a stroke right now.
I know.
But there's a difference between ascorbic acid and real vitamin C. And Albert Sven Gorgi, who won the Nobel Prize, knew there was a difference because he wrote a very important letter to Nature Journal, July 4th, 1936, 18 months before he won the Nobel Prize. And it was very clear in his letter, ascorbic acid does not cure scurvy. I've got the letter.
Whoa.
I can tell you, he was very precise about it. But, you know, other forces got in the way. But there are these sources of real vitamin C that are natural and allow the body to have the full complement of nutrients that the whole food vitamin C complex represents.
So the one that you liked is a product called Innate Response, right? So I bought some of that. I guess you can get that on Amazon. Innate Response, vitamin C. And how much of that do you take?
I use it every day. I take one a day. I've got clients that take two a day. Very rarely, people might take three. But I think you'll find just one a day is going to be a nice addition to your routine.
And then, so your opinion, the research shows that the whole Linus Pauling thing with ascorbic acid, he was just wrong? Poor. Poor Linus, I don't want to talk about a guy who's gone, you know?
No. I think it isn't just that he was researching ascorbic acid. He was working with lysine and proline. And so those are very powerful amino acids.
I see.
And it gets into a level of biochemistry that's beyond our pay grade. But I think that there's more to the story. That's how I would leave.
Okay, so, but you're pretty clear, your recommendation, that you don't think that ascorbic acid is sold as vitamin C today is beneficial for people to take.
I have 15 scientific studies by 15 different scientists that demonstrate that ascorbic acid and ascorbate kill the ceruloplasmin protein, which is my entire focus.
Whoa.
Is making more of that protein so the body can have more bioavailable copper expression, so it has better functional iron, so that we don't get into excessive oxidative stress.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So, what's next on the list on the protocol? What do you got, Meg?
So then we've got And we've got minerals. We've got the magnesium from mineral drops. And then we've got the oral mag. And I think what may have thrown you off, Patrick, was there's 5 milligrams per pound or 10 milligrams per kilogram. And that, so again, kilos are about 1 pound equals 2.2
right.
kilograms. That may have been.
But just as far as the magnesium goes, you're still recommending I just do 5 milligrams of magnesium per per body weight per day, and then I can also then do some magnesium transdermal oil. You can throw that on there. I've got some of that. And then you can do high magnesium foods like chocolate. I mean, what's not to like there? Right?
Absolutely. Does it say chocolate?
I figured the chocolate thing out. No,
I think you're taking an interpretive reading of the... That's fine. No, that's great. So the thing is, we live in truly stressful times, and the phrase that I coined is called magnesium burn rate. That's another way of saying stress. Well, when COVID-1984 hit America, the magnesium burn rate went off the chart. And I think everyone is suffering as a result of that. It's easing now. People are calming down. But the level of magnesium loss on this planet has been staggering since the middle of March.
Oh, just people getting fearful or whatever.
Fearful, not able to do their work, having to be in a home when they're not used to being in the home all the time, not being able to deal with their children or having the opportunity to deal with their children. Again, all stress is not negative. There's something called eustress. The excitement of something still causes mineral loss because of just the process of responding to it. Stress comes in many different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. It is what it is, as somebody once said. Right? Okay.
It is what it is, but there's always a price to be paid for stress. It's a biological response to stress, which is what Dr. Fiedler figured out in 1899. There is a price to stress. This protocol does is honor that price tag and says, these are some noteworthy supplements that will allow you to restore the lost minerals and restore the proper biological function so you can deal with stress going forward.
Let's take this phone call, Morley. Good morning. Who's this? Hello.
Good morning, Patrick. This is Nancy in Nebraska.
Okay, Nancy, good morning. How are you?
Oh, not so good.
Not so good? What's the matter, not so good? What's going on?
Well, I have a question, because we're not talking at all about thyroid, but the question is, they're taking Natrithroid off the market right now, and WP-thyroid, thyroid, and I was reading last night all these people that have had horrible side effects. Since they did a different, where they came out with a, remember last year when they took Natrithroid off the market for a while, then they came back? Well, people were having all these problems taking these pills, like the hair thinning and all that. Mm-hmm. But my question is, on this blood test, because I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to go to Synthroid, and I heard Natrithroid bought out Synthroid. So will this affect the blood work from Morley?
Okay,
this affect the blood work to have done? I mean, I don't know if he tests for the thyroid or, you know, now we're all going to have to, those that are hypo or don't have a thyroid, you know, we're
going
to have to go to Synthroid.
Okay, Nancy, we got it. What do you think, Marty? Can you field her question at all?
Yeah, I can comment on it.
Go ahead.
Again, when the low thyroid function. For just a minute, let's assume the people have their thyroid.
Nancy, hold on a second, Nancy. You got to turn down your computer because it's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to turn down your computer. Okay. Now, Marley, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So people with low thyroid function all have low retinol status. And there's a very important protein in the body called TTR, and it stands for trans thigh retinin, which means transports thyroxine and retinol. So thyroxine and retinol are the same protein, and when there isn't adequate retinol, it begins to affect the function of that TTR, which then begins to start affecting lipid metabolism and other factors as well. But the retinol is very important for proper thyroid expression, and a lot of people don't know that, especially endocrinologists don't know that. So there are many people who were on various forms of thyroid medication, natural and synthetic, who found that when they started to do the root cause protocol, they didn't need the thyroid support anymore.
Okay.
That their thyroid was being fed the nutrients that were needed in order to run the thyroid.
It got it back into balance? So,
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, that's people that have a thyroid. Now, someone who does not have a thyroid, it's a different story, because they've lost that natural expression of the chemicals that are made by the thyroid. But one of the most fascinating situations I ever witnessed was my wife, again, a long-standing chiropractor. She was working with a client up in Chicago years ago with nutrition, very similar approach to this. And this woman, she had had her thyroid taken out because of cancer. And over the course of 3 years, thyroid tissue started to grow back, believe it or not, because it started, the expression on her blood work started to change solely because of nutrient support.
Wow.
So I fully understand the frustration that this caller has about them changing the medications, and they have been making these changes, absolutely true. So that there are options. This root cause protocol may be an option for you to consider. And there, you know, I regularly talk about that. There's a 4-hour interview that I did with a noted health coach in Sweden. Her website is Health For Me, and you can listen to the conversation that she and I had over the course of 4 different hours of dialogue. But I think there's more to the story. And what I would also ask you to consider is the thyroid does not run the human body. That is allopathic. Yeah, that's allopathic witchcraft.
Hmm.
And so minerals run the body. That's a fact. And you can't create iodine naturally without copper. You can't make energy without copper. In fact, the T3 hormone that everyone is so anxious to have increased levels of,
right,
it doesn't stimulate mitochondrial function. It's actually an oxygen sensor inside the cell. And a very famous study was done by Dr. Mittag, Mittag, in 2012. And what he reveals is the truth of T3 metabolism as it relates to ceruloplasmin. Again, the be-all and end-all in our body, based on my research of 5,000 articles over the last 11 years, is the minerals run the show. But in the world of convention, in the world of organized medicine, they've trained us to believe that hormones run the show, when, for a fact, every hormone is made from an enzyme. And every enzyme on this planet and inside our body requires a mineral. So hormones are at the mercy of minerals. And so what do hormones do? They move minerals in a big way. They're very powerful. I'm not denying their significance. But the mineral imbalance is what triggers the hormone response.
Mm.
And so what I'm trying to do with this protocol is get to the mineral imbalance to keep the hormones where they belong, parked and just waiting for stress. So you're not supposed to be.
You're saying that you believe possible. You get the minerals happy, and the body, everything from the adrenals and the. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Morley, but the adrenals and the thyroid and the TSH and all this stuff that people chase these numbers have a possibility of getting back into balance.
Absolutely true. And Patrick, I didn't set out to change people's hormone status. That evolved over thousands of people who did this protocol, letting us know, hey, I don't need such and such hormone support anymore. Hmm. I don't need bioidentical hormone support like I used to, because my minerals are managing my body just the way they were designed to.
Well, why couldn't Nancy, who's listening, and other people just take a really good spectrum of food-based minerals, whatever, right? Like Drucker Labs has a great one, right? It's all food-based, Intramin, and other things. And we have one with the Living Streams minerals and sulfur and things like that. And then the body, well, isn't the body going to figure out exactly where to put them and how much we need and get rid of what we don't need and not have to chase numbers, so to speak? You know what I'm asking?
No, I get it. Absolutely. Potentially that's possible. But what I've learned, Patrick, is that there's two minerals that stand out in their positive impact, and that's magnesium and copper.
Uh-huh.
They are absolutely essential to make energy. There's one mineral or metal that stands out in its ability to cause dysfunction, and it's called iron.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've taken a very proactive stance of understanding what is the relationship between those three minerals. Very, very unusual to
connect the dots between
copper and magnesium and magnesium. So copper, iron, and magnesium. And I don't think that the available mineral supplement support that you can buy online or over the counter, I don't think it's got the right focus and impact in order to reignite our energy-making ability.
So you're saying this protocol would be more like intervention medicine to get these things happy rather than just waiting until the body figures it out, which could be a long time.
I think that's a fair statement.
Okay.
And I think what people are not mindful of, we don't realize, especially those of us who've lived in the United States for our entire life, we don't realize how much iron we have stored in our tissue. We don't realize how little exposure to real retinol and copper we had in the course of our lifetime. We don't realize how the supplements that we've taken for years cause mineral dysregulation, and that's going to cause metabolic dysfunction. So again, it's just we live in a I think it was an article in Lancet just this past week that has profiled that the United States stands alone in being the most expensive country to receive health care, and it delivers the worst available health on the planet.
Have you seen those numbers? I know, it's like crazy.
We're completely out of sync with reality.
Yeah.
And so I think people, it's very unsettling to think that our doctors that we've trusted for decades and a century or more, they've not been trained properly. They've not been trained completely, in my humble opinion. And because they have blind spots to the role that nutrition and minerals play, they don't have a full understanding of how the body works, how it responds to stress, and what's needed to bring it back into balance.
Yeah, gotcha. Nancy, does that help at all? That's probably the best we can do here on the air. Does that give you some ideas where you can go from here?
Well, it does. I appreciate that,
okay.
Morley. It'll open up some new ideas. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sweet. Bye.
You bet.
Well, it's really troubling, too. Of course, people like Nancy, and there's so much input out there, you know, with thyroid and all that. But do I hear you, though, Morley, that you're suggesting that maybe there's been too much emphasis on the thyroid thing. That it's
no question.
It's more mineral. Didn't a past guest, and we have him on from time to time, Dr. Richard Olry, didn't he do the minerals for genetic code? And he's been on the mineral things for, 20 years, right?
He's a genius.
Genius, yeah.
He's absolute genius.
Yeah, he's going to be back on. So you think minerals is the deal?
It really is. And I think my approach is a little different than Dr. Olry, who I have tremendous respect for, is I've elected to put a priority spotlight on key minerals that I know are particularly important, mm-hmm. both in terms of their positive contribution and then the impact that iron
has. That's the work you've been really doing, ratios and iron and the whole thing. Here's one for you, an email. Is iron in the body affected by electromagnetic energy in our environment? I've heard that giving blood or bloodletting is a good way to reduce the iron in the body. I tried this a couple of times, but I got very sick after giving blood 2 times in the recommended times spans between sessions. So here's somebody that gave blood, but they didn't feel well after. What could that be, Marley Robbins, a sign of?
No, it could be a sign of weak adrenals. Again, what we're missing, the reason why I put so much focus on the hair test and the blood test is it gives us an important mineral context to understand the stress that the individual is under. And then in the course of the conversation, just as we did with you, get a little bit of background of, so what's your story been like?
Yeah.
What's been your history of stress? Right. And that becomes a very important part of the process to understand where that individual is. You know, the loss of blood may have been because of her weak adrenals. Very often, that's the typical response. The people are not prepared for that. But there may be other extenuating factors.
Yeah.
I would say out of 100 people that would donate blood, it might be 2 or 3 that might have an issue. And again, I feel bad every time it happens. The difficulty is you don't always know how the person's going to respond.
But is it okay to say that it's really, in general, not a dangerous protocol, or do you recommend people do the homework before they do it? Give blood.
No, I don't think it's a dangerous routine, or there wouldn't be blood centers
all over
the world.
Yeah, all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this has been a well-studied phenomenon for many, many years.
Here's one for you, Marley Robbins. Question: this is from somebody on YouTube. What causes legs and feet to get specks? And our dark spots on the feet?
It would be important to know the size of the specks. Is it little circles of shading? Is it actually is it look more like a mole? Is it red? Is it brown? Is it black? I mean, there could be a lot of different variations. But very often, what will appear on the feet and the legs as we get older are what are called age spots. People, and sometimes will even appear on the face, as you know. But it very often will appear on the legs. And that is a sign of hemosiderin, which is a form of iron storage that is a clear indication that there's excess iron in the body. And again, I'd have to see a picture of the tissue. It would be helpful to have a conversation with the individual to get into the real weeds of it. But if things begin to show up, particularly as people get older, I'm very confident that there's iron in the thick of it. That's a very easy dot to connect.
So when you see people with a lot of the age spots, right, is that iron in their liver? Because they call them liver spots.
They're called liver spots. So iron is the biggest organ inside the body.
Liver.
What's the biggest organ outside the body? Oh, excuse me. Liver is the biggest. Okay. Thank you. Liver is the biggest organ inside the body. What's the biggest organ outside the body? It's the skin. And so when something can't get metabolized in the liver, it gets sent to the skin so that people know they've got a problem.
Yeah. You know, this is anecdotal, but I've talked about this a bit on the air. If you look at the back of my hands, I used to have 15 little spots, you know?
Dots.
You know what I got now? Three. One on
now
this.
Now you look.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So I think there may be something.
I mean, where are they going?
There may be something to that hydrogen.
You think the hydrogen? No, but they've actually gone. They've been going before the hydrogen, but I don't know. So whatever I'm doing, just keep doing it, right? If they're leaving, that means something's good, right?
Right, right.
Huh.
The thing is, there's an aspect to this copper-iron dynamic that's almost too simple for people.
Yeah, right.
But something that you've done in your routine has changed the expression of those age spots, which means your metabolism is going back into balance.
That's good, right?
The fact that you still need to kiss your toes, though, tells us there's still more work.
Well, that's why, you know, we've always got something. There'll always be something, right? Okay, here's one for you.
That's exactly right.
The discussion of iron's role in inflammation ties in with Dr. Paolo Zambuni. Do you know Paolo? Paola Zambuni? Z-A-M-B-O-N-I.
Yeah.
Successful.
Brilliant.
MS treatment. I guess that multiple sclerosis, is that what that is? He used angioplasty to clear iron deposits that accumulated deep in the cerebral veins. Is this fellow on to something, this emailer?
Oh yeah, no, he's on the pulse of the problem. Multiple sclerosis is all about iron accumulation and lack of bioavailable copper, and it affects a particular brain region called the corpus callosum. But there are manifestations of coronary plaque that show up in the carotid arteries that are kind of an extension of it. But again, it's the same mechanism of oxidative stress, and it just expresses differently in different parts of the body and the brain.
We have a very good listener. They're all good. But we have a very regular listener. Her name is Denise, and she is in a assisted living place, and she's been listening for 10 years, MS. And she's really open. She's tried all kinds of things. So you're suggesting maybe she could look at this protocol and it could be a copper thing for her?
Well, I met with a noted MS specialist here in Chapel Hill a number of months ago. And he said, Morley, I have two types of patients. All of his patients have multiple sclerosis. He said, I have two types of patients, stable and unstable.
Hmm.
And he said, it doesn't matter what I do for the unstable, they all die.
Wow.
He said, I think you know why. And I said, yeah, I do know why. He said, well, I'm very interested in exploring using your protocol for my unstable patients. So we're still in the discussion stage of that. But the important thing is I've done quite a bit of research about multiple sclerosis, and I've got slides about it. But I've identified 12 different manifestations of multiple sclerosis. It expresses in different tissue, differently, and what have you. But all 12 of them are signs of copper-iron dysregulation.
Wow. So if she's listening, or I'll make sure that Denise watches this, and maybe she could contact you through your website and do some work. I mean, she's really open. She wants to get out of there. She's always known that she's going to ditch this thing. And she's so strong-willed, and what a great lady. And, you know, she's not giving up, you know.
And the other aspect of this might be that what's coming to light is that in some percentage of cases, people have a parasite in that part of their brain region.
Huh.
And parasites are very hard on copper metabolism.
Hmm.
And they foster the breakdown that we call multiple sclerosis that has a metabolic fingerprint, if you will, and it's all because of the dysregulation between copper and iron.
Very interesting. Here's another one. Oh, the same fellow, he wrote also, sounds like a pretty smart guy. He goes, the effects of stress eating up magnesium, copper, and other minerals is very apparent in the gray hair that U.S. presidents often get after their term in office. Isn't that interesting? Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
it happens
absolutely.
A lot. I think Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, I think he went, Yeah, I think he went totally gray, didn't
absolutely.
He just went from dark.
Exactly.
Yeah, he just went boom. Yeah.
Yeah, the stress takes its toll over time.
But you also mentioned
it does have an impact.
You also mentioned something about hydrogen peroxide, and I've heard over the years too, because I kind of started to go some gray maybe way early, 30 years ago. There's a hydrogen peroxide component to the hair turning gray where it's kind of bleaching it, and that's tied in with copper too?
Yeah, the hair follicle is changed. It's bleached by hydrogen peroxide. So bleach is hydrogen peroxide. And so there's an enzyme. There are two enzymes that are copper-dependent. One is catalase, and the other is glutathione peroxidase. Both of them neutralize hydrogen peroxide and turn it into water.
Hmm.
So if you don't have optimal expression of those two enzymes, when you're under stress, you're more likely to generate hydrogen peroxide, which is going to affect the hair follicles and cause them to become gray or white.
But that's, again, a mineral thing, right? Not taking these things, not taking those things externally and out of a lab, but getting the minerals thing, and that's going to help straighten everything out.
When you study farming, minerals is everything. When you study physiology, minerals are everything. Again, we've just been trained by organized medicine to think there is disease.
Right.
There's only mineral dysregulation.
Compartmentalization, right? To say the liver's separate,
right,
and the this is separate.
Right.
We got another call. I just want to remind you, those interested in the Living Streams we've been talking about this morning, we do every day. If you click on the ad, on One Radio Network, and it'll take you to the page, and then you can go to the products on sale. Just click on the ad, and it'll tell you where to click on whatever. They do have some things on sale that I didn't have in front of me. Okay, on this phone call, good morning. Who's this? Hello? That was pretty exciting. Let me see. Hold on. Okay. Can you please ask Morley if black ant extract is a good source of zinc for people who can't get oysters that you recommend? And what are other sources of zinc? Kira is in Southern California. So do you recommend people eat oysters, right? I thought it was for the copper. Or is it for the zinc?
No, it's really more for the copper than for the zinc.
Okay.
I think what I would encourage people to do is stay away from zinc supplements. They do things in the body that people are not aware of. The sources of zinc are best found in animal diet. You know, meats are a rich source of zinc. Or if you want, you can use pumpkin seeds would be another, source. Again, I don't put a priority on zinc because I know what it does to the protein metallothionein, which binds up copper 1,000 times stronger than it binds up zinc. And the goal here is not to bind up copper, it's to harness it and put it to work. And there's way too much attention being put on zinc in our society. Again, I think there's a reason for that. I see the world differently, and I think it's important for people to be a little less concerned about their zinc and a lot more concerned about their copper status.
Right, because I know years ago when I talked to people about my hair test and high copper, well, they didn't really understand what was going on. They would recommend I take zinc.
They told you to take zinc.
They told me to take zinc, right?
Right.
You know, because I guess they thought that that's going to get rid of the extra copper that they thought was, right?
Right. So let's go back to those horses in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Do ranchers just start shooting those wild horses? No. They put them to work. That's the part that everyone missed. They were led to believe that unbound copper, unbound from ceruloplasmin, is the full statement. Unbound from ceruloplasmin copper was booga wooga bad, but they didn't ask one important question. How did the copper get compromised in the ceruloplasmin protein? That's the question everyone forgot to ask. What's going on in this body or in this environment that's causing the ceruloplasm to not stay integrity and hold on to the copper? Most important question that's never been asked in conventional medicine.
Yeah. And again, so that's your position, that it's not just about finding a source of bioavailable copper and taking it, because that would still be symptomatic, right? That would still be okay, because we all want this magic bullet, right? Well, what do I take here? What do I take? So that's why you're really working on this root cause protocol to balance everything out with the minerals, and the body's going to figure it out.
And the goal, see, the thing is, you and I are engaged in what's called a conscious conversation. And we're exchanging information at about 2,000 bits per second, which is pretty fast. Yep. And so the part of our brain that runs our body is called the hypothalamus. Hypothalamus is the size of an almond.
Right over here.
64 chambers. And that's where electrical energy becomes chemical energy. That's where all the master regulatory hormones get made, is in the hypothalamus. Hmm. What does the hypothalamus love? It loves copper, but it also thinks 2 million times faster than you and I can talk. And so my whole goal is to bring minerals and nutrients like retinol back into the body and then get out of the way, because the body knows exactly what to do with these nutrients.
Yeah.
There is an innate intelligence to the human body. There absolutely is, when it's not overwhelmed with stress, whether it's biological, nutritional, physical, emotional, whatever. Let's bring the stress quotient down, feed the body with the nutrients it needs to make energy. That's what this whole protocol is designed to do, is increase energy production. And why are we so concerned about energy? Mark Hyman is the guy who figured this out. He's a functional MD at Cleveland Clinic. Stress is the body's inability to make energy for the mind to respond to its environment. That is genius. And what he brought was the connection between stress and the body's need to make energy to respond to it. And that's really what the protocol seeks to do.
And also, I think it's curious to think about the idea that, again, stress is an outside thing, right? Whatever, war, famine, corona, I don't know, whatever, politics.
Right.
It's our reaction to it. And that's what we can control. That, that's huge, right? As soul, we have the ability that no matter what's out there, to not react to it. And the better we get at that, that's how we control stress without moving to the, right? Without moving to a cabin in the middle of the Amazon and saying, well, exactly. No stress here, baby, I'm good.
So the person who probably had the greatest understanding of stress was a famous magnet expert named Mildred Seelig. She was an MD with an MPH, Master's in Public Health. And she wrote a very important book on magnesium metabolism that you can access online. Its website is mgwater.com, and her textbook will show up, and it'll keep you off the street for a few days. But the important thing is that there's a diagram in there where she talks about four classic forms of stress. We have environmental stress, which could be a lot of different things. You were talking about war, but it can be the things in the air, the acid rain, whatever.
Sure.
There's physical stress. You were in a car accident, or you fell, or whatever.
Get a divorce, whatever. Mom, dad, mom dies, dad dies.
Right. Third form of stress is called emotional, and that's more internal than external. And then the fourth is called metabolic stress. And what people don't know, or hopefully at the end of listening to us yammer for a couple hours today, what they will at least understand is that there, this metabolic stress is a big deal. And if copper and iron and magnesium are not happy, the oxygen molecule is not going to be happy. And oxidative stress is metabolic stress. That's the whole kit and caboodle.
That's it.
Just as Dr. Levy said, oxidative stress doesn't contribute to disease. It is disease. Well, once those oxidants start to appear with rapidity in the body, you've got a problem. Well, that stress needs to be dealt with. And the only way to get rid of that stress is to better manage the dynamic between copper and iron as it relates to the oxygen molecule.
I agree. And I think it was a divine thing that we met George Wiseman and this hydrogen Brown's gas, because it is the number one, in the research will show, antioxidant on ever. So this is it's a salacious plug, but I don't care, because I think there's something here for you guys to look at. This hydrogen machine, it's a great investment. He has a lifetime warranty. He has a one-year money-back warranty. No questions asked. Use promo code ONERADIO and add this to your protocol. And try it. And if you don't like it after 6 months, well, then give it back. And I think I'm finding some things going on with me, Morley, that I can't even explain. You know, some real, real deep spiritual, emotional, physical things. So that's a plug for this thing. And I think it was a divine thing, as I said. But and also, I think to your copper thing and the energy that we talked about, as we get more energy, more awareness, and more the ability to kind of think more clearly, we have the ability to make better choices in our day-to-day life, right? Well,
absolutely.
Okay, this corona thing, maybe it's nothing. Maybe I'm just going to let it go. Okay, or this political thing, I don't know. It's crazy. Maybe I'm just going to let that go. And we can choose to let it go. And your life will improve. Trust me when you do that. Because it is, right, Morley? It's just a movie.
It is just a movie or a video game, as some people describe it.
Right.
But the important thing is a body under stress begins to overreact to stimulus. A body under stress begins to narrow its field of vision. It doesn't see things out here.
Right.
It only sees things, we become tunnel visioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scientific fact. And so the way I describe it is an individual who is magnesium deficient is wearing night vision binoculars.
Mm.
Everything appears bigger and brighter than it really is. The beauty of magnesium is it creates chill. You really do calm down. And you're much more accepting of the circumstances. The thing, you got to have magnesium and bioavailable copper in order to make energy so you can make better decisions. You got to have a combination.
So when we're low on magnesium, and I guess that's one of the reasons why you've been on the magnesium thing forever, called Magnesium Man, is it's a the brain kind of body thing can just kind of react before we as soul even have a chance to say, wait a minute, I don't know, I don't know if I'm gonna, jump into that one, right?
Why am I getting worried about that? Things that you have no control over, it doesn't make sense to stress over. What is worry? It's a negative prayer.
Sure.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
And so I'm not being naive. I'm not being Pollyannish. We know there's things out there that are stress inducing, but I think what we need to do is focus our energies on those issues that we have total control over, where we can really feel the impact of the fruits of our labor.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's been some of the perhaps unconscious movement with, just spaced out on the name. The whole thing with more organ meats. Who was it?
Weston A. Price.
The Weston A. Price Foundation. Do you think that's been, maybe unconsciously, that's been some of their real argument for more organ meats for, what, 20 years or 30 years, right?
Yes.
You think that's part of it?
The research that Dr. Price did 100 years ago is of paramount importance because it taught us what our ancestors were really eating in order to have vitality. And his moniker for vitality was perfect teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he knew that perfect teeth meant perfect spine. And if you have perfect spine expression, you do have perfect health because your nervous system is exactly where it needs to be.
It's working, yeah.
And so the nutrients that our ancestors were eating 100 years ago are vastly different than what we are eating today. They had 6 times more vitamin A in their diet. They had 4 times more minerals in their diet.
Wow.
This is all well documented. And so it's just we are a nutrient shadow of our ancestors' diet. And we didn't realize that over the course of the last 100 years, there's been this loss of mineral mass through the mother's womb that's affected each subsequent generation.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So the nutrient profile that we have today is very different than it was 200 years ago.
There's this news channel that came out called News Nation, kind of advertised as it's going to be the first unbiased, right? Unbiased, completely objective newscast. And they started about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I thought it was interesting. I said, well, that would be good. I mean, News Nation. And it's I think it's out of WGN. I think they have. So I watched it the first night. And a couple of things. Almost every commercial, you know what it was? Some pharmaceutical drug. Almost every commercial. Because I don't have TV. So I was like,
WGN, I just,
yeah. So I was like, whoa! Almost every commercial. Now they did have some Burger Kings and a few commercials in there, but almost every one was. So that has been my awareness of television, which I haven't seen for a long time. And since I don't travel much, the only time you'd see it in a hotel, right? If you flip on the TV and say, "What? What's on?" You know, you could just watch the commercial. Isn't that interesting? So to your point too. This lack of minerals has to be why we spend more money on everything, Marley, in our culture in the United States, and we have some of the worst numbers of health, right?
It's absolutely why.
Wow.
It's completely why. And the thing, people, again, minerals have been expunged from our consciousness.
Sure. Who talks about minerals? Huh?
Again, if we were all farmers, we would understand what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But none of us grew up on farms, or most of us did not grow up on farms. And it's been several generations since we were near a farm. And so we've lost that consciousness. It's not taught in medical school. That's why I tease doctors that they are mineral denialists. That's what their degree stands for. And because they don't understand minerals, they don't understand metabolism. And if you don't understand metabolism, then you will believe in disease. Because these events appear mysterious, like something like multiple sclerosis, it's a very significant series of events that take place in someone's body, and it all appears real, but it's all reacting to a loss of energy, a loss of metabolic function, and that's true whether we're talking about
anything,
heart disease,
cancer,
arthritis, cancer. It doesn't matter what the in the Merck manual is, it's all the same oxidative stress that Tom Levy talks about that's driving every facet of metabolic breakdown.
Every facet of metabolic breakdown. Here's an email from Lynn. What does Morley think about angstrom minerals, which are liquid dietary supplements of various monoatomic-sized minerals?
No, I think it's a wonderful source.
They're
of,
good.
Again, we a base mineral foundation in our water. That's the key. And any water that we drink or cook with should have minerals in them.
Okay.
But they don't go far enough to reverse the decades of mineral dysregulation that we've all grown up with. And so that's why the protocol puts such priority emphasis on minerals, vitamin complexes, and nutrient-dense foods.
To get this thing happy. But in general, you like the angstrom, you for Lynn, they're good? The body can absorb them?
Yeah, I think, again, that's fine, but that's the start.
That's the start,
that's
sure.
The very beginning.
We understand. Do you like to try to get water 7.4, some people recommend? Do you like that pH? Is that good?
You know, the one limitation is we work with the city water. We filter it very thoroughly.
Sure.
Our filter of choice is a Blinkage prescription. And it's basically RO water when it's done, but they will put back in a very modest amount of minerals. And then we mineralize that water. And that we have a tank of that mineralized water that we use to drink and cook with. So I don't worry about getting the pH to 7.4 because I am confident that the minerals are going to do that for me. And I think a lot of people put too much attention in the pH when in fact the pH from our mouth to our anus changes about 14 times
in a day.
And it doesn't, you know, this idea that we're going to control the body pH because we started with a different source, it doesn't work.
And then that whole thing started with the book, didn't Marley, the Alkalize or Die book, that really got people on this whole thing. And it was really a black hole,
right.
Wasn't it? We know now.
The body has incredible wisdom, right? The body has incredible wisdom about how to stay in balance when you are feeding it the right nutrients. There is an incredible wisdom to our body, and we didn't know that they were taking the nutrients out of the food. We didn't know that they were putting goofy stuff in the water we were drinking, like fluoride. We didn't know about all the changes to the food system that they were making. We didn't know about the medications.
Yeah.
We didn't know that cholesterol goes all the way back to the beginning of oxygen on the planet. So we were told to be afraid of cholesterol, when in fact, it's one of the most important elements in our diet when you have bioavailable copper to metabolize it. So again, we've been engaged in a very carefully
scripted
story.
This is bad, this is good.
We didn't know it was being manipulated.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the cholesterol thing all started.
The phrase that I use.
The phrase that you use is what? Go ahead.
Well, the phrase that I use is we have been misled. And misfed.
Misled and misfed. I like that. Misled and misfed. Well, I don't like. I didn't have the Framingham thing, right? That all started that cholesterol, in 1980s.
Absolutely.
And then they got rid of coconut oil, and they substituted coconut oil, and they demonized fat. And to this day, you go into even any hippie food store, and almost all of the yogurts are low fat. I mean, they've never gotten rid of that. It's
people don't understand what that means. What does the word fat really mean? From animal tissue.
Oh.
From animal tissue. And fat is very different than oil. And so we've been trained to believe that fat is bad and vegetable oils are good. No, it's just the opposite. And the more... And the more saturated the fat, the better it is for our health. And there are many directors of the Framingham Heart Study, but Dr. Scarpelli, I think was his name. He was the third director. He was interviewed. This was very carefully protected in the internet, but there is a record of his interview where he was asked about some of the findings of the Framingham
Heart Study. The Framingham thing, yeah.
He said, you know, it's my surprise people, but the older the person, the more cholesterol they had, the healthier they were.
Yes.
And so this whole notion that we've got to keep cholesterol between 150 and 200 is completely twisted.
Yes.
And it's only driven by big pharma. As we get older, we're meant to have more oxygen, and we've got to have more cholesterol to park that oxygen. Very, very important for our brain function. Very, very important for our organ function. And again, most people don't know that it takes 11 molecules of oxygen to make one molecule of cholesterol. So cholesterol is an oxygen sink. It's a really good thing to know. And so, again, if it gets rusty, though, as you were discussing at the beginning of our conversation, mm-hmm. that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
What did they forget to tell us? Oh, yeah, in 1941, we started adding iron filings to the wheat flour, and that's why your cholesterol started getting rusty. We forgot to tell you that. And then everything started to hinge on, you've got cholesterol, and it's bad for you. And it's like, wait a minute, let's talk about the great oxygen event when it came on the planet with copper and copper enzymes.
And one clever guest said years ago on the whole Framingham cholesterol atherosclerosis model that just because cholesterol was found at the scene of the crime didn't mean it was the That's perpetrator. Right. Isn't that a great line? I always remember that one, boy.
No, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
No, the research that drove cardiovascular disease, blaming cholesterol for the problem, is called correlational research.
Correlational.
They found a correlation. They didn't find causation. They found correlation.
Yeah.
Well, the way to address that is, do flies cause garbage? Do firemen cause fires? No. But flies show up around garbage, and firemen show up around fires, but they didn't cause it. Now, here's where people need to really understand this. This is a very important point. Maybe this could be a source of a complete show if you
sure.
hear about,
yeah.
about vitamin sure. D. But vitamin D, the whole debacle about vitamin D deficiency, it's the son of cholesterol research. They're using the exact same strategy. It's all correlational. Someone with low vitamin D, it correlates with disease, but it doesn't cause it. And what people don't realize is that by taking vitamin D, that's not going to reverse the disease process. In fact, it's going to accelerate it, but that's not commonly understood.
Whoa.
And why is vitamin D connected to cholesterol? Because when you've got skin being kissed by sunlight, it lowers your cholesterol level.
Does it
the
really?
First thing it does. That's, yeah. And so it's incredibly important to understand that cholesterol metabolism, it goes back to the beginning of time. We've been trained to be booga-wooga afraid of cholesterol, and now be booga-wooga afraid of low vitamin D, not knowing. Here's the conundrum, Patrick. How did the nation, the United States, how did the nation with the highest cholesterol on record produce the lowest vitamin D on record? How is that possible when, in fact, vitamin D is made from cholesterol? Isn't that a curious thought? That here we've got this high cholesterol, low vitamin D, and what people didn't realize is that there's an enzyme that gets us from here down to here. That's not taught in doctor school. There's metabolic reactions that are based on magnesium, ding, 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 that turn cholesterol into vitamin D.
Wow.
How about that?
So,
and that's not taught. Wow.
So you said actually vitamin D level was high on the blood thing. High.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't do vitamin D supplements. I just out in the sun. So that could be, I just need more and more magnesium, and that'll balance that out.
More magnesium, but you also need more retinol.
I need vitamin A, which
I think. I think that the elevated D in 99.9% of people, it's from supplements. You're a unique breed of cat that you spend time in the sun, which is great. It's very important to get those photons. We all need those photons. But typically, an elevated D is not a good thing because it's usually coming from a synthetic source.
I see.
Not a sun source.
I see. So if it's a sun source, who cares, right? You're out in the sun. God knows what it's doing. It's kind of...
Well, here's what most people don't know. I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. That sunlight does two things. It does many things, but two in particular. Sunlight activates the synthesis of vitamin D.
Yeah.
Everything starts with that photon hitting the skin and activating a series of enzymes to do their job. Very, very important function. Sunlight activates the breakdown of retinol into what are called retinoids, And there's a whole series of chemicals that are produced from the retinol molecule that run our body.
The vitamin A.
Our immune system.
The vitamin A.
Vitamin A. Vitamin A becomes, it becomes retinaldehyde, becomes retinoic acid, becomes nuclear receptors. It's so critically important. And again, everyone's being trained to think about only vitamin D and to think that it can have retinol toxicity. No, that's just more programming. And it's important for people to realize that.
That's fascinating. How do you remember all this stuff? I mean, your little brain, your little mind is working good.
I've been blessed with a good memory, and I've been able to, again, passion helps. You know, what is stress? Doing something you don't like to do.
That's right.
What is passion?
Doing something you want to do, right?
So you and I are passionate about what we do,
right.
And we're blessed to be able to do that. And, you know, this is a late in life phenomenon for me where I've found something that absolutely has galvanized my intellect. And I love being able to dance on minds and share this kind of information.
Yeah, well, good for you. Marty, you really, it's just an honor to know you, and I appreciate it. So I think I'm just going to do this live on the air. We need to, if you want to, we should set up a monthly show.
That'd be great.
Right, we'll set up a particular day of the month, and Marty's going to be on this one.
Yeah.
And then people, if they, because I get good vibes from you as far as your credibility, as far as your integrity, as far as your research, you know? So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, my.
I've worked pretty hard to get, you know, what's the expression? 10-year overnight phenomenon. I've paid my dues, and I feel very, very enjoy these conversations.
Oh, I know you do.
The chance to have
and just the title of my book is It Takes a Long Time to Get Young, Third Draft, right? So that's the name of my book. So this is interesting. This is from Debbie. Patrick, why can't you do homeopathic remedies or other herbs to chelate the arsenic out of your body? Ask Marley. Good question. I've got some things downstairs.
That's a wonderful question.
I haven't taken a lot of them, but what do you think, Marley?
No, I think that's a very thoughtful suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my wife has done more work with homeopathic tinctures and things. I don't like black boxes.
Black boxes?
You know, traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy, things of that nature are a black box to me because I don't understand how they work. The reason why I've gravitated to minerals is I can explain with meticulous detail the enzymatic expression, what's the dynamic between the minerals. There's no question. Homeopathy is amazing.
Sure.
Absolutely amazing.
Sure.
But that's a whole nother paradigm. It's a whole nother language of healing that I haven't had the chance to study. But I think this listener is spot on that there could very well be benefit. And could that, in fact, then set the stage for improved copper metabolism because the arsenic isn't as high as it has been.
Well put.
So, that's a very good suggestion.
So I have a heavy metal detox liquid down there. I haven't taken much. But I believe it's cilantro and is the main ingredient. So that gets stuff out.
So you want to be careful. So
no?
Cilantro can be both good and bad.
Oh.
It has a punch. So, again, as a rule, I'm not quick to jump on detox, in large part because it requires energy to do a detox. The liver is already under stress as it is. So I'm not quick to jump there.
Okay.
Cilantro may pull out too much, but I think the homeopathics could be fascinating. It would really be intriguing to get someone like Robert Scott Bell who knows homeopathics. He would be able to tell you what would be needed, but I'm sure there are many sources of information.
Could your wife help me get a homeopath for my high arsenic?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Be happy to do that.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be kind of be very fun.
Let's do that, you know, and see what that does. A couple more here, then we're going to go. I can't believe we've gone 3 hours. It's great. What does Morley think about Shilajit?
Shilajit, that's a product that Matt Blackburn in particular likes to use. I'm still researching it. Again, it's an ancient product. It's got hummus and fulvic acids in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the surface, it's rock solid. I just don't know enough about the second and order impact, if there is any. But on the surface, yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And Matt and I have had that conversation on a couple of his shows. So
yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't know enough about it to really be able to speak with conviction.
Salila, she is in she's in Portland. I'm sorry. Sorry for giving you guys such a hard time, Salila. Thanks. You're still listening. We didn't lose Salila. She's in Portland. God love you. One of Patrick's regular guests, this is kind of long. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. Sorry, Salila. I just want to paraphrase it. Her thrust of her email is that Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who's on once a month on our show, suggests that the onions with liver really takes it to another level as far as metabolizing the good stuff out of the liver. Does Morley agree with that? Liver and onions.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Do you?
I mean, I encourage people to do it maybe as frequently as once a week. Again, it needs to be grass-fed.
Sure.
I think it's very, very important. People don't realize that there's vitamin C in grass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to know. And so, I'm a strong proponent. You know, shake it up a little bit. Maybe have kidney. Maybe have heart. You know, I grew up eating organ meats. My mom was from the country, if you will. And she's very strict about making sure we had exposure to more than just muscle meat.
Interesting.
Which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah. My mom, I think back 50, 60 years ago, we would have liver and onions at least once a month. And, you know, I didn't really ever thought about it because we all kind of thought it was a little bit yucky, but liver and onions are really good. So she must have known something. She probably got that from her mom, who was born in Italy, right? She probably got that from her.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Absolutely. And what happened was they changed the food source for these animals from grass to grain.
And corn.
When they made that change, they changed the lipid profile of the animal. They changed the lipid profile of the liver, and it didn't taste the same.
Yeah.
And then people didn't like the taste anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If it's grass-fed, it's a completely different product.
So we would be all right. I'm going to talk to the people at the Ancestral. I think that's an interesting company, right? They have grass-fed liver and even some thyroid things from desiccated, right? And so I think we're going to take them on and promote them and talk to the fellow and have them on the air. But I could take these and other people could take them along with the real live liver. Wouldn't hurt you. It's not going to hurt you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Just good stuff.
And be sure to say hi for me because we've had several conversations.
What's this fellow's name? Do you remember? He's called the Liver Guy.
I've been blanking.
Yeah, they call him the Liver Guy or the Liver Guy. I'm going to call him up.
He's a really, really good guy. Knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I see him at trade shows from time to time.
Oh, you do.
I'm embarrassed, I can't think of his name.
So we're gonna pick those up. But I have seen articles, as you know, that they caution against liver because it's got so much iron. Isn't that counterintuitive to what your work is doing?
Okay, so every animal has a slightly different liver design and composition. But the composition of beef liver, when it's raised properly and fed properly, not being misled and misfed, there's twice as much copper in a beef liver than there is iron. That's a very important statistic to know. And so it's very different than lamb liver or goose liver or chicken liver. But beef liver has a unique profile to have more copper than iron. And that's why it's so important in our diet.
I see. Chicken livers, are those good? Good food?
No.
They
taste great, but they don't have the mineral profile and they don't have the phospholipid profile. It's not the right mix.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to stick with you, kid. If I do raw, you know, organic dark chocolate, I mean, come on, I'm good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just
get all that magnesium, man.
Well, you know what RCP stands for, don't you?
Oh, no.
Real chocolate protocol.
Real chocolate protocol.
Real chocolate.
You know, I do a thing every morning. Most mornings, it's called, you'd like this one, Marley. It's called a cobalamine tonic. Have you heard about this one? Cobalamine tonic?
No.
You should try it. Okay, no, I'm going to turn you on, all right? I'm going to turn you on. What you do is you get some raw cacao organic, right? Teaspoon of the cacao,
okay.
Right? Teaspoon of the organic maple syrup, right?
We're not talking about beef cows. We're talking about cacaos, right?
Cacao, yeah. Chocolate, you know, David Wolf cacao. maple syrup, and then pure organic coffee over the top. You mix that baby up. Oh, yeah. Forget about it. It's really good. And it's called a cobalamine tonic. You can go on our website and look at Adam Bergstrom's. He's got some blogs on cobalamine tonic, but it's all about getting more vitamin B12 in your body, help to balance hormone. It's a kind of cool thing. And then think about, you're getting a whole teaspoon of chocolate too, right? The cacao. Hey.
Real chocolate protocol.
Okay, try that. Let me know what you think.
The thing is, what the listeners may not know is that the symptoms of copper deficiency and the symptoms of B12 deficiency are almost identical.
Ooh.
Almost virtually the same. And what a lot of people don't know is that three physicians, Minow, Murphy, and Whipple, won the Nobel Prize in 1934 for solving anemia and pernicious anemia, which is B12 anemia, using one product.
What's that?
Do you know what it was?
No.
It was called beef liver.
Whoa.
They got a Nobel Prize for using
beef liver. Really?
To cure people, beef liver to cure anemia and B12 anemia. And just between you, me, and the lamppost, I don't believe that it's cobalamin that runs B12. I believe it's copper. But they've very successfully and very artfully hidden that in the research. That's just me being
Maybe we're going to have to start calling this a coppermaline tonic or cobalamin tonic.
Exactly.
Well, Marley, you're just great fun
really
to talk to.
Really delicious.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I have my coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
I have my coffee every morning.
Check it out.
But I think I'm going to try it.
Teaspoon of each and see what you think, you know. And if you just start leaving your body and going to Mars, well, then come back because we need you, you know.
And if my hair starts to grow back, then we'll...
That's right. Then if your hair starts to grow back, you go. All right, kiddo. Well, I love you and I love your work. And what we're going to do...
Absolutely.
We're going to have a PDF of the thing that you sent me this morning, which is an updated version.
Yeah.
Sharon's going to put that on the show page. We'll also have a link to your site so you all can kind of look at Patrick's thing. My life's an open book. I don't care. And you can kind of go along with this, with the audio and the video, and see if you can make some sense out of this. So now, to wrap up, if folks want to do this protocol, they can do it with you, and you'll start them from the beginning and do the whole thing? Or how does that work?
Oh, sure. Well, there's 2,000 people a month who download that protocol.
Wow.
Very blessed to have so many people. And I can't possibly work with that many people.
Sure.
But there are people, if you want to work with me, I'm happy to do it. I've trained 300 people to take it to fullest expression. So again, on the website, the rcp123.org, as you get into the resources page, there's all sorts of links to working with consultants, and there's a community that people can join, the RCP community. We have Q&A session every other week. In fact, this afternoon is one of the Q&A sessions, and we get into the questions that people have about this and that. What about doing this? What about that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the community continues to grow, and it's just in our own quiet way, we're shifting the paradigm. Ample effect, but we're not trying to take the world on by storm because that's not necessary.
That's right.
We are reaching the people who are more aware, more awoke, as it were.
Awoke.
Are finding this, they're finding this to be a very useful part of their discipline. And so that's great. This is not designed for everyone.
No, I understand.
Not everyone's going to find this to be of benefit, but the people who really want to take responsibility. it to be a real powerful platform to work from. So cool. I'm very grateful for that.
All right, Mr. Marty, it's rcp123.com, right?
.org.
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 And I'm going to start, I think I'm going to get all the nutrients today to fulfill all the list, you know, the rice bran and the Rosita, and I got the innate vitamin C and beef liver, bee pollen, good stuff.
That's great.
I mean, you know, it's not taking a whole bunch of pills, which totally into, just doing it with food. And so we're going to see. I show up every day.
Look forward to it.
You know, if I just start, you know, looking like George Soros, I'm just going to stop. Just kidding, George. See, I just created George Soros karma, too, man. I got to cut that out, Patrick. Don't do that.
Man, I don't know. There's karma there.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, George. I love you, George. I love you. I love you, Bill Gates. Sorry. God. Crazy.
I'm not going there.
I got to tell you.
You know, they're just doing their job.
I know. They're just part of the play. I just slip sometimes, you see? Yeah, so every time I do, I always correct it, right? I always erase it and say, George, I'm sorry, you're just doing your job. I love you, George.
It's just that they're fulfilling a role that helps us all come into light.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I'm writing a screenplay, rewriting it and rewriting it, and if you don't have a protagonist and an antagonist, you don't have a story.
So all the great religious books... All the great religious books have a protagonist, right?
Got to.
You know, Buddha, Muhammad, Christ, whoever it happens to be.
Right.
And they have antagonists too, but they all have a protagonist. Here's a question for the listeners to ask their doctor. Who's the protagonist in the Merck Manual? There is not one positive, constructive protagonist identified. And I can tell folks, and those that have been listening to this entire conversation would guess where I'm going. The protagonist in our body and in life on planet Earth is bioavailable copper. And there's not one word about copper in the Merck Manual. And they might ask their doctor, why is that? Why aren't you talking about copper in the Merck Manual?
Why?
It's the glaring defect of organized medicine.
Did you not send me one link of a copper that you like that I can take internally? I think I ordered it. Did you?
I don't know. Did I? I'll go check. I'll go back through my emails and make sure that.
Didn't you tell me about a guy that really...
The copper cream, yes. Copper cream.
Yeah.
Yes, I did send you that.
Yeah.
Copper cream.
So that's something, you know, I did
that's,
order that. I don't think
that's
I...
That's a transdermal.
Transdermal.
That's a transdermal.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
And
it was great fun. We appreciate
thank you
it.
Very much.
We'll stay in touch.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye, Marley.
Okay. Look forward to it.
Okay. May the blessings be. See you soon. Well, my goodness. Let me do this here. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Oh. Come on, Patrick. You can do this. Just got to find the right... Well, wasn't that just a trip, huh?
That was quite a gab fest.
It was quite a... Well, I think I got it right. So we're going to go now, and we will see you tomorrow. We have Fred Jaszewski with The Real World of Money, and then we have Dr. William Wong, and he is... Marley, you can stay there if you'd like, and let me close this out, if you don't mind. We'll chat a second. Dr. William Wong, and he's going to be here, and we're going to do a show about preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. Use your imagination. What that's going to be about, we are going through a golden age right now. So we talk a lot about that on Open Phone Friday on how to join that crowd. But there's lots of giant squids trying to want our attention. So we're going to talk about that with William Wong. So I love you all very much. May the blessings be, and we will see you tomorrow at 9 o'clock on OneRadioNetwork.com. I love you guys. Thanks.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.